Play some twos.
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 1049 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talk Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory!
Woo! Put them together. Right for a Friday on B&E. Friday is here. It's going to be a beautiful summer-like Friday in Austin, Texas. Temperatures in the 90s. Plenty of sunshine this weekend. Temperatures drop back into the low 80s tomorrow. Should be gorgeous for your Saturday. Sunday looking good, too, for all of us to lay up and watch the final round of the Masters. Justin Rose, the man on the that everyone is chasing, will talk about his tee time today. Also, Jordan Spieth after a 1-under yesterday. They included a triple bogey. I'm looking for where Jordan tees off this morning. He played in the afternoon yesterday, so I'm assuming he's going off here early this morning for his second round. So we'll certainly keep you posted with that. Jordan tees off at 9:54 this morning, right as we're about to wrap up the show.
Yeah, there's Jordan a couple of guys I didn't see. I had Billy Horschel. I didn't even know what his numbers were yesterday. When I don't see you on the leaderboard and you're past plus four, then I started where I got no chance.
88 players, only 12 in red numbers. Only 12. Contrast that with November. 5 months ago, they played this tournament, and we talked about how easy the course played with the soft conditions in November. 53 in red numbers after day one. 5 months ago, 12 yesterday with the windy and firm conditions.
Yeah, the dude you couldn't pronounce his name yesterday, Christian, whatever his name is, hanging right in there, too.
Bazutenholten.
Skusnutenholten.
God bless you.
He's in there.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know what? I mean, there's a whole slew of golfers. Gosh, there's like 12, 15, 20 golfers at plus two.
Right.
Which, you know.
Tommy Fleetwood yesterday with a hole-in-one.
Yeah, about a hole-in-one at the Masters, but he's plus two. Like, no one's out of it, but obviously, as you said, if Justin Rose goes out today, picks up where he left off and puts, you know, even a 3-under par, even if you go 69 today.
Right.
He's going to be sitting at 10-under. Which puts him in a really strong position. But obviously, a couple bad holes, and Justin Rose can be right back to the
pack.
That's
right.
And that's what this course is playing like right now. It's really challenging. As Jordan Spieth found out yesterday, he's cruising along and hits one in the woods on nine, ends up hitting one of those pine trees, ends up making a triple. And, you know, the fact that he rallied, we'll hear from Jordan Spieth coming up on his ability to be mentally tough and rally through that. But
by the way, Bryson's new club didn't do very well yesterday.
His surprise?
His surprise surprised him.
Excuse me while I whip this out. You know what I'm saying?
He was knocking that thing into, like I said, other fairways, in the pines. I mean, he is a guy who can take a 2-iron and play that whole golf course.
He could.
I mean, if he wanted to. Just and hit it right as long as anybody does with a driver.
Yeah.
And win that tournament and be right there. But he had problems putting yesterday, which they all did.
Very fast greens. I'm looking for your guy, Billy Horschel.
Uh-oh.
Not seeing him yet.
I'm not going to be in the top five in this.
Look, you still, well.
So you have to go home if you're like plus nine or plus 10. Is there a cut line in this?
Your guy, Cooch. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Today.
The top half will make it into the weekend after today. So 44-ish will play into the weekend. Billy Horschel shot plus four. 76.
He's right there. Everybody's
right there.
He is. Plus four, I think, is still in this.
Well, there's a lot of golfers ahead of him because Billy Horschel is.
Ian Woosdom's right there with him. Woozy's still around.
You know Woozy still played?
He still plays.
The heck?
When you see Sandy Lyle in farmer's jeans playing with straps, I'm like, how the hell did he get on this course?
He was wearing farmer's jeans?
Look, try to find a picture of Sandy Lyle and his teeing off, and you'll see that's not proper attire we have here at the Masters.
God, I'm just looking at my team. My team is terrible. Matt Kuchar was plus six. Lee Westwood plus six.
Yeah, you got a problem.
A lot of people were picking Patrick.
Come on, Cantlay.
Cantlay plus seven? Gosh, he only beat Sandy Lyle by two strokes yesterday. Good Lord.
So, dude, look at Sandy Lyle's outfit and how he got to Augusta and they let him on the grounds without wearing the caddy outfit. You know, the white jumpsuit.
I'll look up Sandy Lyle.
Where did you see that guy?
Who you once hit in the rear end with a golf ball at a golf tournament.
I've changed his life since I hit him. He's now gone crazy.
And Rory McIlroy hit his own dad yesterday.
Yes.
Come on, Dad. Get out of the way. But yeah, Rory did not have a good day. You picked Rory.
Are you looking at Sandy Lyle's outfit with the?
Oh my gosh. He's wearing a collared shirt. I can say that for
him. Okay, that's okay.
He's wearing a collared shirt. So, all right, let's get to your headlines, trending topics on this Friday morning. Top Gun, Law and Equipment Rentals bringing you the news. Yes, we're discussing the Masters, one round in the books, and the man to beat right now is Justin Rose, the 40-year-old Englishman who's been battling some back issues this year, but boy, came out yesterday and played one heck of a round. The 2015 and 2018 Masters runner-up with two over for his first seven holes, had five pars and a couple bogeys plodding along, but boy, absolutely caught fire, played the final 11 holes in 9-under. To claim a four-stroke lead in the clubhouse over Hideki Matsuyama and Brian Harman. Four others, including the 2018 Masters champion Patrick Reed, are 2-under. Only five players beyond that finished in red figures, led by Jordan Spieth, who was at 1-under despite a triple bogey on the ninth hole. Winds were up, firm greens. Some of the biggest names in golf really struggled yesterday. We'll see what happens today. Round two is underway. News from Texas basketball. Longhorns landed a commitment from Plano John Paul High School four-star small forward Jalen Tyson, 6'6", 185 pounds. Announcement comes after Tyson requested a release from his national letter of intent to Texas Tech. He's going to follow Chris Beard to Texas. He's the first commitment for Chris Beard as head coach of the Longhorns. Busy night in the NBA, highlighted by the Dallas Mavericks. How about the Mavs? They lose in Houston on Wednesday night. Turn around and beat division-leading Milwaukee last night. Beat the Bucks. Thanks to 27 from Luka, Kristaps Porzingis, 27 and 26 points and 17 rebounds. Also last night out west, late last night, the Clippers took down the west-leading Phoenix Suns, 113-103. Suns' seven-game win streak is snapped there. Major League Baseball, Rangers took the night off. Astros won their home opener at Minute Maid Park, 6-2 over the Oakland A's. Carlos Correa, Yordan Alvarez, and Jose Altuve all hit home runs to back the young right-hander Christian Javier in that Astros bullpen. They're off to a 6-1 start.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. It's time to get those spring projects done, Austin. Come to Top Gun this month to rent, buy, or repair the equipment you need to do it. TopGun.net. We'll shoot you straight.
Somebody said, did you see the player putt into the pond?
Yes.
I didn't see that. I did see Jordan Spieth chip in on 15. If it hadn't gone in, it would have gone in the pond.
Yes. Yeah, I saw him. He went from one side to the other one, and it just kept on going.
But Jordan Spieth chipped in for a birdie, and Buck, if it hadn't gone in, it was going... Even Jordan said, I got really lucky on that because it was going fast, and it would have probably ended up in the water. Instead, he ended up with a birdie. So
I can't tell. I know they're talking about there's a lot of brown spots on the greens. Maybe the greens aren't quite in from – but generally during this time, that place is sparkling. I mean, everything looks green, but there's some brownness in the greens right now at Augusta. And those things are shaved down like nobody's business, and that ball is flying.
Can we give away some Texas Rangers tickets?
Absolutely.
We have a pair of Rangers tickets for tonight's game, as our friend Brad Kellner in the afternoon calls him, big Ranger fan. The Jurors, I guess, is what they call them. If you would like to see the Texas Rangers play the San Diego Padres tonight, you got to be able to go tonight. We'll get you the tickets, and you can drive up to Arlington and be a part of the game. Padres, Rangers. Here's the question. We want to get a good Ranger fan in here. Who is the Texas Rangers all-time leader in batting average, career batting average? All-time leader. If you know that answer and want to go to the game tonight, call 447-3776 and you will win those tickets. First person. All-time leader in batting average for the Texas Rangers. Career batting average.
It'd be nice to get up there and see that new ballpark.
I know. Even if that's maybe spend the night, have a nice...
That little area there is kind of nice, too.
It is. It is. Texas Live, the whole area in the mm-hmm. outfield. Beautiful spot. So all-time leader in Texas Rangers batting average. If you know the answer... or you have time to Google the answer, you give us the winner, we'll give you the tickets. How about that? Catch me outside.
How about that?
How about that?
Made $1 million in 6 hours.
Somebody said, how about Yordan freaking Alvarez? Yeah, Yordan is back, and he's healthy. He had two knee surgeries. Never was really healthy last year, the rookie of the year 2019. He's ripping the cover off the ball early. Astros, I don't know if they're good or if they're playing the A's, because remember, the Astros are 6-1, the A's are 1-7. And five of the Astros' six wins were over Oakland. And remember, Billy Beane's not with the A's anymore. You know, he's the architect and mm-hmm. Moneyball. He's left, and I don't know if that's having an impact. They also traded Chris Davis to the Rangers and made some changes. But the A's won the division last year, and the Astros are beating the daylights out of them here early this year. But as you said, the A's always get off to a slow start.
They do. I don't get that with them. How do they do that? Because they're rocking and rolling with the last 2 months in the season. All of a sudden, they just come out of nowhere. And they are tough to beat late in the season.
And the Astros did beat them last year in the playoffs.
Yes.
To advance, which was fun for Astro fans. But, yeah, the Astros, at least this year, remember, Astros, even when they made the playoffs last year, they struggled offensively in the 60-game season. Of course, they're dealing with the cheater label.
Well, they got good players, so but, you can say what you want. They still have some really good players.
And George Springer's in Toronto now, but he hasn't played a game yet.
He hasn't played yet.
He's still not playing. And, you know, they just moved Jose Altuve to the leadoff spot, and Alex, I mean, they still have really good players. Alex Bregman's really good. Kyle Tucker has come into his own. You've now seen why the Astros refused to trade him for so long. Yordan Alvarez in the middle of that order. Michael Brantley battling a bit of an injury, but he's still in the middle of that order. So, yeah, the Astros will be fine. The question for them is going to be pitching, and so far the pitching's been excellent because Zach Greinke's been good. The kid Christian Javier has been excellent. They've got Lance McCullers, who they signed to a long contract. He has had a good start early. So Astros off to it's tied for their best start in franchise history. At 6-1, they'll play again tonight.
Kind of interesting, I would say, for Texas football, if they are going back-to-back days with pads on, which they probably want to do. You know, you probably don't want to go day with pad and then get away from it. Just really get that rhythm in right now. So if they're practicing today, real important day two in practice in all that gear.
I think they've been going, and I don't know if this got altered from the COVID pause, but they've been going Tuesday, Thursday, then Saturday.
But yeah, they'll get yeah. Well, that's good. Okay,
and you got to think that maybe this Saturday, maybe tomorrow
scrimmage?
Could be the one of those first live scrimmages. Just to see
at least
they are.
Live inside drills.
Yeah,
goal line scrimmage.
Because Tuesday was the first padded practice. Yesterday they had a practice, and we'll get some intel on Steve Sarkisian and those Longhorns trying to develop. We talked yesterday.
They want to implement some toughness, and they want to implement some of the stuff that they have because they're going full bore. They're throwing everything at those kids right now.
Yeah. It's how important spring practice is, and the Longhorns and so many programs didn't get it last year.
That's right.
And with all these new coaches, and boy, especially the players for Texas, several of those guys are on their third coach in 3 years, right? Their third different voice.
And the linebackers really got to get cranking. Some of those guys have got full scholarships to come play at Texas, and everybody's wondering who's going to do this, who's going to be that guy at that position, that linebacker. Well, you got a scholarship to come to Texas. Go take advantage of it right now. They need somebody to shine. Because you're not gonna see a couple guys because of injuries right now, and you've got a transfer kid from LSU who's in there right now, and
Ray Thornton.
And if you've got an opportunity to get in there and play, this is your chance. Make that a good impression on your coach.
Absolutely, Isaiah Collier. Do we have a winner of our Rangers tickets for tonight's ball game?
We do. Congrats to Blake.
Blake,
good job, Blake.
And this was tough. I wouldn't have guessed this because I had to look it up. But who the all-time batting average leader for the Texas Rangers organization is, I would have probably said, Rafael Palmeiro or
Michael Alex Rodriguez.
A-Rod. No. The answer will surprise you. Al Oliver, 319, career batting average.
Kind of round-shouldered Al Oliver.
Round-shouldered. Followed by,
was he lefty?
Number two on the batting average list all time for Texas Rangers with enough of bats, Will Clark, the big smooth lefty.
No, he was smooth, yes.
Julio Franco is third, Rusty Greer four, tied with Alex Rodriguez at 305. Okay. Adrian Beltre, the Hall of Famer. Pudge Rodriguez, the Hall of Famer. Mickey Rivers, how about Mickey Rivers?
Mickey Rivers, before he got to my Yankees, before he became a good player?
Josh Hamilton and then Michael Young,
okay.
10th. All-time batting average.
So. Still love Mickey Rivers coming to bat, flipping the bat, doing all the twirls with his bat.
Mickey Rivers. So Blake will be at the Rangers game tonight to see the Jurors and the Padres. And talking a little Texas spring football. We talked about Chris Beard and bringing in his first recruit and talking plenty of Masters.
God, Mickey Rivers was a slappy. You're talking about the ultimate leadoff slappy? He was a slap-hitting son of a gun when he came to the Yankees. Try to get it through. Al Oliver was a big swinger, right? Lefty?
I don't know much about Mr. Oliver.
Really? Left-hand batter, I'm going to say?
Yeah, played outfield and first base for your Texas Rangers. He's still going, too. Not playing, but still.
So alive and well.
Yeah. All right, so there you go. I wouldn't call him round-shouldered. Pretty lean and
mean. I think a little bit later in his career, he got a little roundy. We all do.
Like you're shaming people. Like Matt Kuchar, you're talking about his little dad bod that he's got going these days.
No, you see it too now. It's hard for him with his Skechers to hide that thing. It looks like a little basketball, and he can't get the shirts.
That's called the dad bod. mean, what are you going to do? You're a dad now. You got kids. Wife's cooking dinners, and you're cooking dinners with her.
You got all these different. You got so many sponsors. They can make a shirt for dad bod if you got a sponsor, right? They should be able to. Yo, Phil, how about Phil? Phil looks good. Remember when Phil had, like, man breast?
Yeah, they used to call him Fat Phil, but we can't call that anymore.
No, he looks great.
P-H-A-T-P-H-I-L.
Yeah, but he looks fantastic. Phil looks like he's in great shape.
No, he's gotten himself in great shape. And
Champions Tour.
Well, you know, Cooch.
Got to play against Bernard Langer, who looks in great shape. But Cooch, I don't know. Something happened where he just...
Get in your 40s like Cooch is, man. It's harder to take those pounds off. You know, they don't just
fall off. Is that what you're telling me?
Off.
Are you telling me they don't just come off that easy?
Yeah, he got to work out a little bit. And he just likes the range, Coocher. He shot plus six yesterday.
Okay, maybe it's I'm just the only one noticing that Cooch has a basketball hidden under his shirt. I'm not trying to call him fat. I'm just saying he's different. He used to be, I'm not saying he used to be svelte, but he is. His body has now changed a bit. You know, they do bring gyms along with them, right?
There's a gym.
PGA huge, Tour. Yeah, PGA Tour brings a big old gym with them.
Yeah, mobile. By the way, Phil yesterday, plus three. I'm trying to figure out who's going to make a run at this thing today. I mean, obviously, Justin Rose.
Dustin Johnson's still there.
I mean, it's noteworthy to say that what a great round Justin Rose played when everyone else struggled so mightily, right? When everyone else of the best players in the world are really struggling. For that guy to play 9-under in the final 11 holes, that's pretty locked in. That's really impressive. Everyone
9-under
else
is, at that place?
Is just, I mean, even the guys who made red numbers, they were just battling to get there, right? I mean, they were scratching and clawing. You know, Patrick Reed had gotten it to 3-under, and then he made a bogey at 18. I mean, these guys were scrambling to...
You're pointing at the guy right now that may have a chance, too.
Who?
Schauffele. He may be one of those guys.
We'll see what comes today. But, boy, Justin Rose... When you're four shots better than everybody, that tells you just how locked in he was. And to start two over.
I can put the whammy on him by saying I like to pick him right now. Because I'm certainly the guy.
I'm going to check your team. I took Patrick Reed. That's going to help me. But the rest of my team is just garbage. It's garbage. And why didn't you take Justin Rose? You always take Justin Rose.
I have no clue why I didn't take him.
Did you just forget about him?
No, I didn't forget. I forgot. I knew this. He was coming into there not playing over the last couple of tournaments, and he has a bad back.
That's true. Remember he had what was the tournament he had to withdraw from?
Right, where he got like a 10 on a hole.
Yeah, made a 10, and he
quit.
Oh, my back! Broken. Spinal.
You mean he quit?
Yeah, well, you know, got his back right and went and worked on his game and took some time off. Maybe that's what your guy Kuchar should do, because Kuchar never takes the weekend off.
He never
off.
Goes home. He was like Vijay Singh used to be.
By the way, Vijay was the first off today. First group off.
That guy's still knocking the ball around.
Yeah, he is, with the big smooth swing. Vijay Singh. Okay, so resetting your top stories. Congratulations to Blake. He's going to the Rangers game tonight. We'll preview that Texas baseball series coming up. Craig Way, of a Craig Way report, as David Pearson, the Longhorns, hosting the Kansas State Wildcats, and it should be great weather for that. You know, the temperatures are going to be in the 90s today. We're getting to baseball weather, Buck, where the ball flies, and we're seeing the Rangers, the Longhorns hit a bunch of home runs these days. I know we talked to Coach Pierce every Thursday, and then we had Coach Harrington in here when you were out on Wednesday. There's a lot to like about this Texas baseball team. There's a lot to create the idea that this has a pretty high ceiling baseball team. They have a lot of elements that go into winning, right? They can score runs in multiple ways, as we heard Coach Pierce call it yesterday, creative ways they can score runs. They're taking their walks. They're taking good at-bats. They're playing elite defense. And then they've got good pitching, right? I mean, they got an ace in Ty Madden. Tristan Stevens behind him has been excellent in the two-hole. And their bullpen is coming together. They've got guys at
and
the back
end. They've got
role
players that play really well, yes, when they get an opportunity, too, which is good.
And I thought it was interesting from David Pierce yesterday to the question you asked him. You know, you guys have played 7 or 8 weeks of baseball. Is it time to lock in a lineup? And he said, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We've told the guys. I mean, this is what you saw this week in these two midweek games. And
those are their guys.
This is our lineup. It is time to take this lineup and peak at the right time in Big 12 play and put ourselves in position.
And I just wanted to know from him, now the guys that have been playing so well that have backed those guys up, and nobody wants to be number two, how do you handle those guys to keep them involved?
It's true.
With your team, you can't let a guy who's playing very close to the guy who's number one just forget about him, because that's a disruption to the team. You know, that you have to be mature to, and this far they've done such a great job, the backups, in getting in games. And we're speaking about the names of some of the backups he all of a sudden you become really a backup. You know what I'm saying? And that's, boy, that's tough on a kid who's having a good year. So somebody has to be number two. You can't lose number two.
No doubt.
Because he's got an attitude. So
game one tonight, 6:30, with Ty Madden on the mound, of course. And then Texas will play Saturday and Sunday. And don't forget, Kansas State just took 2 out of 3 from Texas Tech. So, yes, their record is, you know, they're not one of these ranked Big 12 teams we talk about, but they just beat the Red Raiders 2 out of 3, so they'll come in here with a lot of confidence. Longhorns have won 5 straight and 22 of 27.
You know what I'm going to say about Kyle Pitts, the guy that now the Dallas Cowboys and Jerry just loves? I think he's going to be just all right.
When we come back,
just all right.
Apparently Jerry Jones is infatuated with another offensive player for Jerry Jones. Details on that coming. Also, breaking news. There's some breaking news from Houston on the Deshaun Watson situation. There was a hearing earlier this morning. We'll let you know what a judge ruled in the case Deshaun Watson and the civil cases. We'll get you the very latest on that. Craig Way Report, get ready for your blitz before the end of the hour. It's B&E on a Friday. Live, local, and digital. Streaming on that Horn app and always on our website at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Friday on the Horn, live, local, and digital. As we said, Texas baseball tonight, 6:30, K-State. Wraps up our Friday after all the local shows. And somebody just said, hey, the left side of the Horn's defense, on the left side of the Horn's infield, best I've ever seen. And I've watched a lot of Texas baseball.
That's Cam at third base starting
Cam
that way.
Cam Williams and Trey Faltini is ridiculous. I mean, it's pretty elite. And they're really elite up the middle, too, because Mitchell Daly has come in and taken over that second base spot, the freshman from the state of Alabama. Not only does he lead the Longhorns in hitting, he's also tremendous with the glove. And, you know, they're really good up the middle. They've got 3 catchers that can play. And, you know, as Coach Pierce told us yesterday and always continues to tell us, it starts and ends with the defense, and which leads to the great pitching, which goes together. And then, you know, we're going to be creative and find ways to score runs. I mean, I think maybe the most telling thing of this week, you know, playing these midweek games, sometimes you can lose focus and you're playing, you know, a little bit lesser quality of competition. To take 11 walks on Tuesday, 12 more on Wednesday, tells me that they're staying locked in. They're going bat to at bat, because sometimes against some of these you know, lesser teams like A&M Corpus Christi, you're going to try to get a little more free swinging, take a little more get after it. Nah, 23 walks in 2 games leads to some long baseball games, but it also creates a lot of traffic on the base paths, and they do have speed. Speed at the top.
Yeah, this is a, like I said, this is a team that really, the depth that they have on this baseball team is really special. And, you know, as I said, I always like teams start to reach that crescendo. They're kind of getting towards that. They're dominating the weekend series against folks, you know, winning 3 last week, and the rest of them have been too. They've not lost a series.
No, they have not. Well, not since the opening series where they lost all 3 games. But,
correct.
But since that point, they've won 22 of 27. And, yeah, they've won 7 of their first 9 Big 12 games. Took 2 out of 3 from Baylor and Oklahoma, and then the sweep last week against Kansas over the Easter weekend. Now here comes Kansas State. Buck, on the way to the timeout, you mentioned Kyle Pitts. Now, the reports from Chris Mortensen, the Mort Report yesterday, which raised eyebrows around the NFL and certainly in the Metroplex, is that Jerry Jones, who is the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, he's also the general manager of the Dallas Cowboys. According to the Mort, Jerry Jones is infatuated with Florida tight end Kyle Pitts. And some suggest that maybe he'd be willing to trade up if he needs to get a hold of Kyle Pitts. Is that a good idea?
How is he going
to
trade? Bells. What is the bell hearer going to trade?
Here's what Mort said. He said, we're hearing this thing about Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys, being infatuated with Kyle Pitts. He's going to have to trade up to get him. But he spent $40 million a year on Dak Prescott and wants to put weapons around him. Well, okay. Does he want to play any defense? I like Kyle Pitts, by the way. I mean, I think. And you're not as high on Pitts as some.
No. No, I'm not. I mean, we had someone on the Specs text line. Every good quarterback needs a great tight end. I'm like, no, not really. But this guy's an exception, but no thanks. Give me a good, solid cornerback so that I don't see the back of the names on the back of the jerseys every time the Dallas Cowboys play. We're Awuzie and Woods. I mean, generally I don't know a lot of names, but when the Cowboys play, I know those names because I see the back of their jerseys all the time chasing people. They have to stop that.
Yeah, and as we said yesterday, there's a chance they're going to get a chance to take the first, the number one defensive player on their board.
No matter who he is.
Yeah, there are several mock drafts that suggest the first 8 or 9 picks will be offensive players. And that's not far-fetched, right? You're going to have 4 quarterbacks, maybe 5 in the first 9 picks, potentially. You're going to have Ja'Marr Chase, Jaylen Waddle, and Devontae Smith. The left tackle, mm-hmm. Penei Sewell.
He's going.
He's going to go early. And so there's a real chance that 8, 9 of the first picks are offensive players, and that the Cowboys at 10 could pick any of the defensive, take the best defensive player on your board, period. Be done.
I don't care if he's a linebacker because they needed that linebacker. Those two playing linebacker right now, and you don't know if the one kid who you chose a couple years ago is always going to be, he's got a bad neck.
Well, as I said yesterday, if you're sitting there at 10 and the value is a trade back because your top 5 defensive players are still on the board,
right,
and the top 3 corners are still on the board, then trade back a few spots. Let someone else come up if you can and play that game. But don't be trading up for another offensive player. As much as I like Kyle Pitts, and I can see what Jerry's thinking here, you got young Kyle Pitts, you have young C.D. Lamb. At that point, you'd have to trade.
Once again, there's only one football. I mean, you just don't have enough ball. I mean, there's just not enough to go around on offense, I don't believe. Well, you still have Zeke. Zeke needs the ball a bunch of times, too.
And you're paying him a lot. Mari Cooper?
Or he'll start whining and not playing, yes.
I mean, I guess the question, look, I think
what do you think? Let me ask you this. What do you think that C.D. Lamb is going to be? You've seen him since high school. You think
he's going to be phenomenal.
You think he's going to be a phenomenal pro, or is he just going to be, do you see Hall of Famer for him? Down the line, or you just see him as a great pro?
I think he's a great player. Now, Hall of Fame, that's bold, but I think he's got the skill set in the right offense to put up numbers for a long time.
Okay.
And so that's when you're talking Cowboys, you're I don't want to say these contracts, but you're paying Amari Cooper as the highest paid receiver in the league this year. You're paying Dak Prescott as the second highest paid quarterback in the league. You're paying Zeke Elliott as the highest paid running back in the league. I mean, those three combined are making over $60-some million in your salary cap. Do you need another offensive player? I know Kyle Pitts, some people, and I know you don't think this, Pitts is a generational type player, that he's too good to pass up, and it would be like passing on, Randy Moss when Randy Moss was
Megatron.
There. Megatron. He's big and freaky and long arms and, caught 12 touchdown passes last year for Florida from Kyle Trask.
He was a freak.
Pretty much unstoppable. And he's 6'6", and you can put on 10 more pounds, and you can play him at tight end, but you can also flex him out, and you can play, that's what they do in Kansas City with Travis Kelce, right? Sometimes you see corners trying to deal with Travis Kelce. He's too big for them. He just plays basketball with those dudes. Then he gets in the middle of the field, and there's not a linebacker or a safety that can stay with him. That's what we mean.
If you told me they were taking Micah Parsons, the kid from Penn State, I would go, go ahead and get that linebacker.
Micah Parsons.
Get him. While you're getting him later on somewhere, if the guy from Tulsa doesn't go in the first round, if he's in the second round somewhere, Cowboys, take him also, because the two linebackers you have right now will eventually just start running into each other.
You don't
think they're any good, do you? I mean,
I just think of Jerry Jones coming off a year when they had an historically bad defense. And I know they had injuries and it was a rough year and whatever. But you fielded the worst defense in the history of the organization by points allowed and yards given up. And you have a chance with the 10th pick. You don't ever want to be drafting in the top 10 anyhow, right? I mean, you'd prefer to be later in the draft. But so you have a top 10 pick because your quarterback got hurt and you had a bad year. And you get a chance to draft the best defensive player in the draft.
It's hard to make a mistake.
And you take another offensive player? I'd have a hard time with that if you're the Dallas Cowboys.
But, look at what the Super Bowl champs have at linebacker. Do you see those two linebackers that play for those guys? Do you think those two guys really made a difference? They weren't just a good defensive team. They were a great defensive team, and most of it was on those two dudes. Those guys could fly.
Yeah.
You couldn't get around them. They covered. They never came off the field.
Yeah, I mean, they pretty much shut out Drew Brees and the Saints in the playoffs,
right.
And then they turned around and helped beat Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau Field and held him out of the end zone late and held them to 23 points and then completely stuffed Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
They're going to go with the guy from Notre Dame because they paid him all that money.
Well,
he's going sideways, Smith.
Well, I know Tom Brady got all the headlines, and rightfully so. He brought a winning attitude to that team, but The best part of that team was the defense.
Oh, yes.
The best part of the Buccaneers in their playoff run was their defense. And
the linebackers could just go.
Yeah.
Hey, they were so good at linebacker. You got two guys like that.
Well, and they're pretty good up front, too, with the pass rush and Shaq Barrett and Pierre
is
Paul
Sue staying?
And Sue.
Is he staying?
I think Ndamukong Suh's coming back to Tampa. I'll check on that. All right, here's the breaking news from Houston, by the way. I mentioned on the way to the timeout that there was a hearing this morning, 7:45 down in Houston, and the ruling is in. A judge in Houston named Deidre Harris, Harris County judge, has ruled that one of the women suing Houston Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson, they have to refile the civil lawsuit with her name on it. She has to put her name on it. She cannot file as a Jane Doe if she wants to proceed with the case. She has to refile. There's a hearing again today at noon with a very similar. Rusty Harden is making the case that look, if these ladies want to sue Deshaun Watson, that's their right, and we will move forward with that. But they've got to put their name on it. They can't be anonymous. We have to know who they are so we can do our own investigation. And the judge agreed with Rusty Harden this morning, and now at noon today. Actually, 11 o'clock our time. There's another hearing that will be regarding at least 12 of the other cases.
Yeah, because there's one individual that's not with Rusty Harden. I mean, not Rusty Harden, but was it Busby? They're not with him. That's the least. She's already come out there with her own lawyer.
Right, and she's filed with...
Her name is on it.
She's the one that's filed criminal charges.
Right.
Not civil. She's filed criminal charges. She's the one that did the press conference this week.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, these are the civil cases. At least on the first ruling, the judge says you have to refile with her name on it and moving forward. And then there's another hearing today for at least 12 of the others where I'm pretty sure it's the same judge. And based on this one, the precedent would be that it's going to be that all of them have to refile with their names attached. We'll see if that changes any of this today. And obviously now that the authorities are working this case, there will be more clarity to it.
And one young lady's already come out to say that Deshaun Watson met her and wanted to meet her at the Houstonian or whatever it is in Houston. Is there a hotel called the Houstonian?
Yes.
I mean, aren't they going to have a video of him going to that hotel if he said, no, I'm sorry, we never met there?
Right. Well, I think
you can go to the hotel.
Right.
That doesn't necessarily mean...
Well, remember, that's what I'm saying about these lawsuits, right? They've been filed, and everything that's in those lawsuits are allegations, and there's been no independent investigation of it by anyone, right? I mean, they're just the accusations of the young ladies in these cases, which is their right to do.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Deshaun Watson's legal team has a right to investigate those and investigate the claims and defend their client, and that's what putting the name on it will allow the Watson team to do. We'll see. As this moves forward, another hearing at noon today, about 11 o'clock.
Yeah, that'll tell a lot because the sheer numbers of these women is just
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's more than just a freaky dude.
Sure, I mean there's obviously a lot to this, but at the same time, this is something Rusty Harden has been asking for Tony Buzz to do voluntarily. Look, give us the names. I mean, turn over the names. We don't have to go public with the names, but we need to know who they are. You can't just have because these are 22 Jane Does with. There's no information of who they are, where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's impossible for Rusty Harden and his team to defend their client if they don't know who they're defending against at this point. And now they can. Meanwhile, the criminal complaints will move forward and Houston authorities will be working towards those.
And so will the NFL.
And so will the NFL. So there you go. This says, I say go offense for the Cowboys.
Oh, boy.
Even Nick Saban, all about offense now. That's true. Nick Saban. Turned it over to the, but you know what? Guess what? The Alabama team this year is going to be built much more heavily on their defense as they replace a lot of that. I mean, gosh, they're going to replace four first-round draft picks on their offensive, maybe five first-round draft picks.
Quarterback, the receivers, the running back, are you kidding me? By the way, they'll still be pretty good. They'll have pretty good players.
Well, they just crap another player.
That's right.
But as people say, yeah, Alabama outscored people. But again, the Buccaneers just won the Super Bowl, right? Defense still wins. Defense still wins. Why did Baylor beat Gonzaga the other night? Defense. Yes, it's fun to score. It's fun to score points. And, you know, the Chiefs went into that Super Bowl as the favorites. Defense got them. Defense won. Still
gobbled
wins.
Them right up.
And that's typically the case. What was the Super Bowl? When there were a 13-3 Super Bowl just a couple years ago with the Rams and the Patriots. You know, defense still wins. Cowboys have to fix that side of the ball. And again, I don't think in the NFL today you have to be elite defensively. It's not the 85 Bears, but you got to be able to stop somebody, Buck.
That team can't stop anybody.
Got to be able to cover people. And the one thing I would say, the kid they took out of Alabama last year in the second round, the corner.
He's going to be better.
If you take another really good corner, well, now you're starting to build, okay, two really good corners.
Right.
Both out of, you took Surtain Jr., you'd have both out of Alabama.
Now, I don't trust him to take a defensive lineman because they've taken a bunch of mess at defensive line. When they go defense and defensive line, no thank you, go ahead and take that guy at cornerback or safety.
That's the other part of the Cowboys. They need to... I mean, some of these high picks, Neville Gallimore out of Oklahoma on the D-line.
Right.
The kid they took out of South Florida a couple years ago, they've got to start showing something. If not, they're going to, you know, and DeMarcus Lawrence, by the way, since he signed that big contract, has not produced to the contract. And I think, look, last year was an injury-plagued year for the Cowboys, there's no doubt, including Deshaun Watson and most of the offensive line. But it is fair to say that those big contracts that they've given out, since getting them, those players have not performed to the contract, DeMarcus Lawrence being one of them. Obviously, Zeke Elliott, you know, Amari Cooper, you could argue.
And maybe he is just 1 year, and not 1 year, but a new head coach, you know, a bunch of old dudes that lived in a barn somewhere trying to figure things out. And not being able, when you're an older coach, and I'm not talking from experience, I'm just talking from being old, you're much better at communicating with somebody face to face than over Zoom and trying to.
Yeah, the Cowboys' Zoom plan was
no,
and their COVID preparation was not solid with the new coaching staff. They did not hit a home run there.
No, they didn't.
But again, I'll put another guy who's not performing to his contract, and that's Jalen Smith, the linebacker. If you have four guys who you give big contracts to, and none of them are performing to the contract, that's a real problem.
It's called bust.
Yeah, that's a real problem. You got to get those guys performing to their contract level.
Yeah, and even the young guy from Alabama wasn't great, but you can see the potential in him. He's aggressive. He'll attack the ball. He'll take some chances. He's like a regular cornerback in the NFL. Take some chances. You know he's going to get a little bit better after a year. But the other one, Surtain, right now, he is ready to go play in the pros.
Feels like it, and the Cowboys will have a chance to maybe take any of the top corners that they like, whichever one they rank and grade as the best. Cowboys could take and immediately improve their secondary. All right, we come back. We will let you loose. It's the Blitz, folks, on a Friday. Bring it strong. 447-3776. What say you? It's only as good as you make it. Make it good next.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
No games, just the gossip ahead of your Blitz each and every morning. Make sure you load it up, 447-3776. Brought to you by Bud Light. Only four great ingredients brewed right here deep in the heart of Texas. Makes the good times great. The great times become unforgettable. A couple of ice-cold Bud Lights and maybe some unforgettable stuff from the Masters this weekend. Tip back some coldies and watch maybe Justin Rose pick up his second major. He's off to a heck of a start, but a long way to go. It's one of those great Sundays where your wife's out of town. Where is your wife, by the way?
In Idaho.
Idaho.
With her mama.
And so you're going to be alone with the dogs. You can.
Yes.
You don't drink Bud Light anymore.
By the way, I was only kidding about my 75-inch screen with Naked and Afraid, because I'm about done with that show now since the lady.
So you were saying in the break that Naked and Afraid looks pretty good on your big 75-inch television.
It does. It does. But there was a lady who she sharred herself, but
what?
Then she went over because I don't know
she
what you
got
do.
The,
something
the
happened
guts?
To her. Yeah, she laid on the ground and kind of, she didn't do it on her bag, but then she went. And she went where the drinking water, where their source was, drinking water. And she kind of used her hand to wipe back there and wipe it off. And the dude looked at her like, that's our drinking water. And then like 2 days later, the fish that are downstream where they were actually getting fish from were all dead. And she started crying because she thought it was from where she had sharded.
Her crap killed the fish?
I don't know. Should the guy have been mad at her about that? You can't go around with your bum like that, right?
I'm surprised on that show that one person hasn't killed the other.
Oh, yeah, the way they talk to each other? I'm kind of done with that because...
For folks who have not seen that, people strip naked and spend 21 days in the wild try to survive as a team.
Now, why do they have all round-shouldered people? Why don't they have some skin and bones people? What's the deal with that?
I don't...
Because they have to lose weight, because that's the thing. They always say, well, they are prospects or whatever. They've lost 26 pounds. You know what I mean?
Maybe real lean people are not... survivalists. I don't know.
But she wiped herself in the drinking water. Would you be mad at her?
Yeah. Well, and plus you start going crazy, right? You start having... You haven't eaten anything. It's cold.
Oh, I'd quit. I quit.
I can't even imagine it. Now, you mentioned the Bear Grylls show earlier. Now,
yes.
You know, I can see that. Because you know you got a real live expert with you,
right?
He's a survivalist. That's what
right.
this guy does.
He rubs his teeth together and the sparks light up.
It's like being out there with like Jason Bourne or something, you know?
There you go. That's what
John
I want.
Rambo.
That's exactly what I want. I don't want these people.
I don't need to be out here with this crazy woman who's sharding herself.
And some of those are crazy too.
Well, that's crazy.
They were crazy
dudes.
Before they got there.
Hey, so. It does appear we got some breaking news and salacious gossip, because this is gossip, but I'm going to go ahead and make this official. Matt Coleman is not returning to the University of Texas, and here's how I know this. Do you have some breaking news, Sounder Zay,
right,
and our salacious gossip?
Here we go.
I didn't know this was a thing. Zay, did you know there was a thing called theplayerstrunk.com?
Never heard of it.
Okay, well, there's a website called theplayerstrunk.com where you can go online and sell all of your gear. And so if you go to theplayerstrunk.com, you can see, and it's almost gone, Matt Coleman selling his game-worn UT shoes, bags. Look, there's his backpack. There's his polo shirt.
Oh, he's got the same size as the guy feet-wise.
12 and a half. Size 12 and a half for Matty Coleman. Yeah, but what's still available at Matt Coleman's trunk? He's got some sweatpants, size XXLT. Got some team-issued sweats, a couple more pairs of shoes at 12 and a half.
Then he has his trunks left over from the Abilene Christian game. Oh!
No, those are sold out.
Those are gone. People in Abilene bought them.
And by the way, you can get, let me see, these size 12 and a half Matt Coleman basketball team-issued training shoes, $100. This pair, $100. That pair is $350.
What?
Sweats for $69. So clearly he... It's professional. I mean, he can't. Right?
Yeah, right.
You can't now return.
And I don't want his arm sweat anyway on my stuff.
That's what the washing machine is for.
It's true.
Let's go to your blitz.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
After seeing Cooch yesterday, now I know why he's wearing Skechers. Keep that.
Don't say you saw
all that
Cooch
pressure
after
off.
Saying naked and afraid.
He's got to keep all that.
Don't say Cooch.
First blitzer, you're up.
Hey guys, happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
You know, I like you guys, but Bucky, what happened to Aaron Hogan? He got soft. He's afraid of the blitzers now. Come on, Aaron. Fuck her up, dude.
He's not afraid of the blitzers at all. Next blitzer.
Look, I'm good. Along with the Rainbow Hogan guy doesn't call anymore.
Next blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Buck, did you see who else is transferring to play with Beard?
Who?
These nuts.
Is he in the portal?
Really? Again? Next blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, what's this I've been hearing all week about Aaron Hogan's sons getting banged in the rear?
No, he got rear-ended.
He got rear-ended. Banged in the rear? What's wrong with you people?
That guy in a PT Cruiser.
Next blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, this is Bev Kearney. Did somebody say dead fish?
Oh, All right. Next blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Bucky.
Yes, sir.
I find it very fitting that you like Naked and Afraid, being that a couple of weeks ago I saw your butt out with a ribbon covering. I don't know what y'all had going on.
Oh, my gosh. Next blitzer, talk to us.
So I've heard Aaron's personal hero is Colin Coward. Jay, Bucky, y'all better be careful now that you're on TV. Aaron's going to replace y'all with a white woman.
Next blitzer.
Personal hero.
You're up.
Bucky, dude, someone forgot to tell Fleetwood you're supposed to dislocate your ankle after a hole-in-one. This is Tony Finau.
Yes. He didn't jump. He just kind of raised his hands up like touchdown. I'm like,
that was in the par 3 tournament. Remember that?
Right.
Turned his ankle sideways and then finished in the top 10.
And he wears size 21. Next blitzer, you're up.
This is Roberto Kraft. Mr. Quick Twitch. Unlike your Twitch, my Quick Twitch is always ready to go.
Thank you, Mr. Kraft. Next blitzer, you're up.
Oh, and let you know, that was the final blitz of the weekend.
Yeah, man, good.
Of the week. All right, so yeah, thank you.
I'm a little mad at that lady for doing that in the water now. It's your drinking source.
I just Googled Naked and Afraid, and I found this one lady's really pretty. I haven't seen that show in a while, so.
I don't watch the whole thing anymore. I just catch bits and pieces
of
it.
But you know me, I have a hard time watching shows with commercials in it, if I haven't recorded it already.
So lots of commercials in that one, yes.
A lot of commercials.
Selling toilet paper.
With my severe ADD, I tend to, if I'm watching something with a commercial, it goes to commercial, I forget to go back.
Oh, that's right.
Because I flip, and then I forget to go back to it. Like, oh, dang.
You don't forget your daughter's birthday, though.
June 10th. She'll be 19 this year.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we'll be back. When we do, we will continue these stories. How about, and also the story of the man who once shipped himself. Did you see this? Not the lady. Shipped himself, Buck.
To some place?
Yes. Shipped himself.
Wow.
Not the story you were telling about the lady on Naked and Afraid.
No. Chartered herself.
We'll be back. Having fun on a Friday. It's B&E with you.